Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome to the show. It's Action Movie Anatomy. It's Wednesday. I'm Ben Bateman and I'm freaking pumped. We're talking about Captain America Civil War, the third film in the franchise, one of the best movies in the MCU, and a movie that kind of stands in as Avengers 3 as we get closer and closer to Infinity War. We're going to be breaking down three Marvel films in a row. This is the first one, and we're going to see you guys in just 1 second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! Oh. Whoa!
It was.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I did too.
I like the pause.
The delay. I thought we were actually just going to, you and I were just going to start singing
a cappella.
2, 4, 6, 0, 1.
Haha. Yeah, that's good. That fits. It works well with Still Dre.
This is wonderful.
I feel like when Tom Hooper was choreographing Les Mis, he probably listened to a lot of Still Dre.
Tom Hooper, our boy, yeah. King's Speech and Les Mis, only listening to Still Dre while directing those two films.
Terrific. Terrific. What's going on, guys? Welcome back. Welcome to the show. It's Action Movie Anatomy here on the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies, all things movie related, and pop culture by the bucketful. I'm Ben Bateman. I'm going to go here to this camera. I like to say it when I switch cameras.
I know,
cameras
you always
now.
Do that. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to this camera. I'm Andrew Guy, and I am Team Iron Man all day long. I know Ben here is Team Cap. You can find me online at Andrew Guy.
I'm team 6% body fat on my heroes.
Okay.
Just moving on from that. We've got Marissa Serafini, producer, engineer, host up in the booth today. What's up, Marissa?
What's up, gentlemen?
You said you just watched Civil War for the first time. Is that right?
Yeah, for the first time in its entirety over Christmas break. And I rather enjoyed it.
It's pretty much the crown jewel of what's been available on Netflix for the last 18 months. If you're like, I'm going to get a Netflix subscription, you're like, whoa, Civil War
is right.
Good investment.
It's a big movie.
Yeah, that's been the one.
Yeah, and I also like that. I like when we cover movies that are on Netflix. I just think it's so much nicer that anyone and everyone... Well, I mean, you have to have a Netflix subscription, but I feel like almost everyone has one now.
At this point. Yeah. They're genius.
Or at least they got friends.
Yeah.
I signed my aunt up for a Netflix account the other day.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know how to do it. And there's the premium one where you can get like four or as many people viewing at a time.
Yeah, right.
She has no idea, so I just signed her up for that. So I've got a free Netflix subscription again. I got two now.
Extra.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch movies for free, and then if you
want
to watch them again,
yeah,
you can watch them on someone else's
account. Yeah, exactly. That's, and I don't even have my own.
Fuck up the census data.
Nice. They're going to catch me. I'm caught.
You're on record now. What's up, everybody? So we're going to talk about the movie, I promise. This is Civil War. It's the unofficial third film in the Avengers franchise. It's actually technically the third film in the Captain America franchise, but everybody kind of knows that this is the bridge movie. This is actually Avengers 3.
Yeah, so, it's totally an Avengers movie.
Totally. So this is Action Movie Anatomy, and as you guys know, we like to talk about action movies on this show. Those action movies adhere to four basic rules. Rule number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. The hero in this movie is ambiguous. That's kind of the point. Are you a Cap person or Iron Man person?
Yeah, and they both play by their own rules.
Big time. Yeah, huge. Well, kind of, actually. Iron Man doesn't really. He's playing by the rules of the government. That's sort of his play.
See, I think this is something that we need to talk about, because I know Richard Eric Jarvie asked the chat about why it was Cap that goes against the government, why it's Iron Man that goes with the government. And see, I don't think Iron Man's playing by the government's rules. I think that he's starting to realize that they've gone above and beyond.
He's like pretending to play by the government's
Sokovia
rules.
Sokovia killed millions.
Right.
You know, hundreds of thousands of people. And it makes sense for the person who is the most against the establishment, the most like rebel without a cause, to kind of slow down and be like, yeah, we need to chill the fuck out. People are dying left and right because of us. We're saving the world, but destroying it as well.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I guess definitely Captain America plays by his own rules. And I think it's safe to say that to some degree, Tony does also.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you in the room. I mean, yeah, they're definitely, they are, if they are the hero and they are the villain. Because the secret of this movie is that the villain's not even a real villain. We'll get to that. But
right. But he actually, you got to think he is kind of the smartest person, because he's able to turn them on each other.
Helmet.
The fact that he's able to, Zemo?
Yeah.
Is able to not only reactivate Bucky and figure out this secret, this deep, dark secret that no one else knows about Bucky killing Stark's parents.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can give him credit.
I mean, he is the smart.
He's the villain.
He's technically
he's
the only
device.
Villain. So he is the smartest guy in the room in that sense. Rule number three, the movie is driven by a police, military, political, or mercenary figure. Well, they all become basically political. They all become like political figures in this movie. So I guess it's kind of fair on that one. And then rule number four, the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. There's actually a bunch of explosions.
There's tons of explosions. Yeah. R.I.P. Black Panther.
Yeah. The original.
The original.
T'Chaka.
T'Chaka.
Yeah. Do you want to do your best Bozeman saying T'Chaka? Because I can't.
Arm the city. Is that engage all defenses and somebody get this man a shield.
That's okay. Yeah. Evacuate the city. Activate the defenses and somebody get this man a shield.
And somebody get this man a shield.
That's how I get to say it.
Yeah, that's how you get to say it. I'm going to actually go all out.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
I will.
Yeah, we'll save it.
Yeah, sure. We'll save it.
Okay. We did the Black Panther episode. We didn't get fired for that. So we managed to.
We did our best to not just do that because we did just want to do the whole episode in the accent.
I still, to this day, haven't done Black Panther voice on the show. As much as I'd
as
like
you
to.
You're dying to.
I have a great one, but I can't do it. It's inappropriate.
That accent, the Wakandan accent, it might be my favorite since Bane's.
It's a good accent.
It's a really sweet one. Everything T'Challa says is like epic.
You're baiting me right now. I know you're doing it.
If I could say anything in any accent.
If you say, I'll give you $100.
All right, guys. So we're going to hop in here. Now, I just want to say really quickly to some new members on the Patreon. We're going to shout you guys out. Courtney Alexander and Theodore J. Snowden.
We salute you.
Welcome to the Army.
Welcome to the Action Army. It's actually a good lead-in because we haven't introduced any of those things. We mentioned that our names. You can find us on Twitter. We mentioned that. We have a Facebook group, the Action Movie Anatomy Facebook fan page, which is a lot of fun. There's a really cool new thing going on that page that got announced today.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of the moderators are going to be putting together like basically a battle royale of all the movies we've ever covered on this show and battling them against each other to see which one comes out victorious.
Gladiator.
I think Nick Widener was like, if the Edge doesn't win, I'm rioting.
So I'm with you on that.
I think there's... You know, there's definitely some favorites, but yeah, go check it out. The Action Movie Anatomy fan page, tons of interaction. We have a Patreon, which we just mentioned, and the deal there is that Andrew and I film a new video every single week, and we go film it with in front of a large wall hanging of Nicolas Cage looking very regal, and we talk about
it's a very good poster.
We talk about awesome stuff that is whatever we want to talk about, as long as it's movie related. It's not necessarily action movie related, and you get those four videos a month. It's like an extra 40 to 50 minutes of content. If you donate a minimum of $1.
So yeah.
Patreon.com/teamaction. Check it out. There's more stuff to shout out later. We'll get to it. In the meantime, I think we should probably talk about the trailer. And just so you guys know, coming up today on the show, we're going to be talking about the top five characters in this movie. Each of us have our own list. We have some AMA questions we're going to answer. We're going to be doing Team Cap or Team Iron Man. A lot of fun stuff. Let's watch the trailer for Civil War right now.
Let's watch the trailer.
I'm not going to do it.
People are yelling at you to do the accent.
They want me to do it.
You can find us on Twitter.
God! That was good.
Sometimes that doesn't mean everybody. But you don't give up.
I've got a total man crush on Chris Evans.
I do too.
Love that guy.
I have a man crush on a lot of the men in this franchise.
Washington, D.C.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
Just watch Wind River again, just cuz. It's so
Chicago.
Good.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Somebody suggest we do Hell or High Water on the show. We probably will eventually.
I was actually going to watch that afterwards, but I was afraid. 2 in the morning.
I like that they brought back Thunderbolt Ross.
That's why it's a
smart move. They brought him back to Hulk. Do you remember that he's an Incredible Hulk?
We need to be put
in
check.
Yeah. They bring him back. It's good.
Whatever form that takes, I'm game.
Claire Forlani's dad.
I'm sorry, Tony. If I see a situation pointed south,
it's not Claire Forlani.
That's Liv Tyler. Oh,
okay.
Nice. Sometimes I wish I could.
Wait, no, it's Claire Forlani.
No, it's not. Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is. Look it up.
I know we're not perfect. But the safest hands are still our own.
That sweet part right there.
That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I was wrong about you. The whole world was wrong.
Get your defenses.
Wow. It's a good trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it ends with the super sick, right? I remember seeing this in theaters. The last part of the trailer is the best scene in the movie, right? The fight?
Yeah.
This doesn't have to
Yeah, it ends
fight,
with them.
Tony.
It's like quiet. It's like, damn.
You just started a war.
Doesn't say that in the movie.
The Iron Man suit is the sweetest thing in all of the Avengers universe.
Why was Iron Man my favorite character growing up? That's why.
Like, the way that they did it.
Stay down. Final warning.
I could do this all day.
And then I wish we just killed him.
They don't show that shot?
No, it's a different trailer.
All right, I've run out of patience. On to ruse!
That's when everyone shit their pants.
Hey, everyone.
That wasn't in the original trailer.
Oh my god, Spider-Man!
I don't think that was in theatrical. I think that must be a trailer that came out.
That's a later one.
Because the Iron Man reveal or the Spider-Man reveal was a big deal. That was a huge deal.
I thought it was already announced before the movie came out.
Well, I mean, it was announced, right. but I don't think they showed it in the trailer.
Yeah.
Because the original trailer that I remember is the one that ends with them, and you see the shield throw. You see them fighting.
Right.
Did you just sure me?
I did. I just wanted to hear that.
Are you wanted to hear what it sounded like when you said it?
Sure. I love it. Still, I mean, a great trailer. Every trailer for almost every Marvel movie has been fantastic.
How mad are you, right? The Iron Man suit is great. It is great. Big fan of that suit. I have every Iron Man comic. I've said this so many times because we cover comic book movies now. I didn't used to get to talk about it.
I know.
Yeah, people on the show, if you guys don't know this, Iron Man was my jam growing up. He was my favorite superhero. I have 6,000 comics in my mom's basement, and I have every single Iron Man comic from 1963, Tales of Suspense 39, first appearance, all the way through 2005. At this point, to collect everything is damn near impossible because once the movie started coming out, it became like he wasn't like a B to C list character anymore where it was like one or two series going. Now there's a zillion. There's so many toys and there's so many comics. But for a long time, I had like a whole like shrine of cool stuff that I collected as a kid. Statues and sculpts and like.
It is so crazy now that comics and toys and all that are, they're not Iron Man and Captain America. They're Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And Chris Evans. Like even in the comics now, they look like them and like, you know, all the toys are them, and it's so crazy to think that like these characters that have been alive for ever.
Yeah.
You know, are now finally embodied in these people.
Dude, like it's crazy too, like the value of those old comics because of the interest in this stuff. So Iron Man 55 is the first appearance of Thanos. That's where he first shows up. It's like on like a last page. You see him for like a second. And that used to be like a, I don't know, like a well-graded one was like $150. And I think my copy's worth like $1,400 now.
You serious?
I think because it's like, it's the first appearance of Thanos and that shit is like really.
I'm gonna rob you.
Yeah.
The first appearance of Thanos because people
are
losing it.
Yeah, people are nuts. So, all right, that's what we're, our ramble just now. That's what we just did. So, that's the trailer. We're going to get into our first segment on the show. This is Thesis Statement. Thesis Statement's that part of the episode where we talk about what we feel is the strongest idea we have about the film. It's rooted in hyperbole, the greatest the only the most the least this. Should never be, you know, this is my favorite incarnation of Hawkeye. That's a bad, that'd be a bad thesis.
Shit.
You don't say.
Really? Well, I'll let you go first then.
I'm going to continue on a thought that I presented a second ago, and that's that Helmut Zemo is the least memorable villain in the entire history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He is such a bad villain, not because he does a bad job or the plotting's bad, but because, like, he's not a real villain, but he's Baron Zemo. That's a character from the comic books. That's an actual Captain America villain who matters.
That's a name that I know.
He like
from
in the
watching
comic book,
Captain America cartoons.
Marissa, if you wanted to be a quick favor, this would be really nice. If you can pull up a picture of Baron Zemo, just write Baron Zemo comic books or something, and you guys are going to see the like light pink spandex outfit that this character wore over the years.
Oh yeah.
You can find some shots from like the 80s where he's just like in bright pink with like yellow with like yellow like cushball stuff around his wrists.
Right. But he's like an actual supervillain.
He's like a bad guy.
He's just like a dude whose wife died and he's like very upset about it.
Right, which is why I think he's the least smart. He's like not a real villain.
Would you have gotten that question right? If they like, because you remember in one of our matches in the Schmodown,
who
was the villain in Iron Man 2?
Yeah,
the names.
And when we
forgot Hammer, we couldn't come up with Justin Hammer's name.
Yeah.
Would you have gotten Helmut Zemo in this movie?
If they had said full name, no. If they had said, I might have said Baron Zemo or just Zemo. Mm.
And well,
he never goes by Baron Zemo in this.
No.
I might have just, there you go. That's what I'm talking about right there.
That's great.
The 80s with the pink. It's just like, it's not even that it's bad or that he does a bad job. That's
really
like
nice.
What he looked like in the 80s. Like
he's yoked though.
Look at the things around his boots.
Are those Uggs?
He's pink.
He's wearing Uggs.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, that is my thesis. I love so much about this movie, but I don't get how they decided to make, they could have just called him anything else. They didn't have to say his name was Zemo.
Right, they didn't have to tie it back to the comics. None of us would have cared. We wouldn't have been looking for the tie to. We would have just been going like, oh yeah, Sokovia, that happened.
I mean, Captain America has Red Skull, and then the Winter Soldier, which is more recent, and then Zemo is like one of the other major villains in Captain America lore.
Right.
So they burned it without actually.
I love so much about this.
Yeah, there's we go. Yep. I thought I'd turn that off. trying to get our live chat going. So I think I could agree with that. I mean, it's not like a very exciting thesis, but it's a very true one. You know what I mean? He is very forgettable, and he doesn't even get to kill himself.
No.
I love how much people catch bullets in these movies. Yeah, so for me, I think my thesis is going to be, man, I was really banking on that Hawkeye one. I'm going to go with, despite all the movies that we cover on this show, and I definitely other the other Captain America movies, this movie succeeds only because of the action, not the moments in between.
Hmm.
It is superstars doing superheroes, super action.
Yeah.
That is the only reason that this movie is as awesome as it is. The thing with Black Panther's dad dying and the thing with Bucky killing Iron Man's parents, it's all kind of trivial, and it is used as a plot device. But for me, this is one of those few times where, like, in an action movie that I love so much, because I really love Civil War. I was watching yesterday, and I was like, I don't care about anything that's going on in this other than the fight scenes. Like, I want to see the airport. I want to see them escaping.
Like, you don't really care about, like, Vision and Wanda talking.
Not at all.
And you don't really care about, like, Spider-Man being like, when the bad things happen, it's because it becomes your fault. Like, that stuff doesn't matter to you.
I don't even care about Team Cap, Team Iron Man, because when I was talking to you at the end of the movie, I mean, after watching the movie, everything goes back to normal at the end, except for everyone's mad at each other. All of Team Cap is free. All of Team Iron Man is free. The villain's done. The world's safe. Like, it's just all the same. So I just don't care.
Well, so the only difference between this, what they did for the movie, and what they did in the comic book, because Civil War is actually a pretty recent story. It's very interesting to see that so many of these new MCU stories, you'd think that there would be 70 years of relevant stories.
Things
that they
to pull from.
They would write stories based on that. What you've been getting a lot of with these stories now is that the origin story will be based on the origin story from the original comic. Like, it'll be loosely based on whatever, however, you know? But then a lot of the sequels they'll come down to things that were written in the last like 10 to 15 years. Winter Soldier was a story that came out when I was reading comics in like 06, 07, 08. That he didn't exist as a character until Ed Brubaker wrote that story back in like 08. And it was fantastic. It's like a whole new chapter of Captain America lore. Civil War is a comic book written by Mark Millar, our boy, who writes everything. Wanted and Kingsman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that was his story, I think. Unless I'm mistaken, and it's actually Brian Michael Bendis. But I think it's Mark Millar. If anybody's listening,
no one cares.
Okay, fair enough. anyway, the point is, because it was a Marvel comic book and they own the rights to all the characters, in the Civil War comic book, it involves the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, everybody. It's the whole entire world of, like, enhanced beings. And it's, like, divided down the line. So, like, it's not just the Avengers fighting each other. It's it's like, literally everyone. It's Mr. Fantastic and Wolverine and everybody.
Yeah, and to talk more on my thesis, it's not that I didn't care. I mean, when I saw that Bucky killed Tony's parents, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. But it doesn't change anything. Nothing changed.
How savage is the moment when you actually see the footage?
Oh, it's
and the way that
sweet.
He kills Howard?
Yeah.
He just socks him in the face but with the bionic arm so hard that it just, like, smashes his brain.
You just know you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bucky's awesome.
He's great. He's really good. He's violent.
Yeah. Okay, so those are our thesis statements, guys. I know that you disagree with mine. I know that you disagree with Ben's in the chat.
Everybody hates our thesis statements.
Everyone hates both of our thesis. Well, because people love this movie so much, and it's not to say that we don't love this movie. I mean, I could have put my thesis or worded it in another way, saying that this movie succeeds because of its action, not because of its story. But
yeah,
that's just how I feel about it.
You live and you learn, I guess.
You live and you learn, I guess. So we'll get on to something that you guys are going to be much more excited about, the next segment on the show.
And that is called Fist Pump Moment. This is that moment of the show, something happens, and you're just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. You want to call your buddy. This movie has so many good fist pump moments.
Anything Black Panther does is a fist pump for me.
I just want to do the voice so bad.
Just do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Engage all defenses.
Okay, I get it. I understand it. I really, really like... I think let's just rattle off some of our favorites. Okay, so I think I think we can both agree the fight at the end is a clear one. So we'll get to that.
What happens?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But when Bucky picks up the battering ram in the stairwell and starts just clocking dudes with like a battering ram for a door, he's so strong he can just like... He could just use it as, like, a baton.
Yeah, he's so strong that he can one-arm a motorcycle while someone's driving it by. That part is so sick when he swings around and just jumps on top. Him and Black Panther fighting on the roof is, like, I want to...
That's what I wanted to see in the movie Black Panther, was that type of fighting for like an hour.
Right.
It was just him going head to head with someone who was like on his level.
Well, because Black Panther has that super sweet, like, triple spin kick thing that he
does. Yeah, like, the very first thing he does.
It's so cool.
Yeah. So what other ones do you have?
I really like that one. I love the Lagos fight at the beginning with Grillo, with Crossbones. I think it's, like, a really sweet fight. I like that he's so disfigured. I also like that, like, just, like, the way, I don't know, and also just anything Chris Evans does.
Yeah, like, when Cap, when he gets shot with the like, tank and he hits the thing and he falls, like, five stories,
yeah,
just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Anyone else would be dead.
He's
fine.
They just, I don't know, we talked about this in Winter Soldier, but the Russo brothers just do such a good job of, like, illustrating just precisely how powerful that guy is. Like, there's a bunch more moments in this movie that remind you. They have such an affection for the character of Captain America.
Oh, totally.
Like, when the grenade and he, like, puts the shield down over it and just holds the shield over it.
That's one of my favorite.
Like, it doesn't even move. He's so strong, it doesn't even move the shield.
Yeah. The whole entire airport scene. I mean, that's what you're saying we're going to save, but...
No, I was saving the fight at the end.
Oh, the one with them. Oh, yeah.
That's like the ultimate fist bump.
There's so many in there. I'm eyeballing it, you know, like all that. But, I mean, the airport scene, what I love about that, my favorite thing about it, is that Spidey is just kicking the shit out of Bucky and Falcon on his own.
Yeah.
And he's like, catches it. You got a robotic arm? That's awesome. And you can see Bucky's face. He's like, how the hell did this kid just catch my arm?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, and I also love that... there's the one line where Falcon's like, I don't know if you've been in a lot of fights, but there's usually not this much talking. That was
like,
funny.
Oh, got it. When he catches the loading thing, and he's like, where are you from? You got a lot of heart, kid. Where are you from?
Queens.
Brooklyn. Or Queens. Yeah. He's like, Brooklyn. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome. Yeah, all that stuff is just fantastic. But we're talking about this, and like, I know we both agree, but my biggest beef with these movies is that because they made all of the superheroes feel so powerful.
Yeah.
Black Widow and Hawkeye
feel like they should just die instantly in those fights.
Well, I noticed it when I first watched Age of Ultron. I remember trying to watch it on an airplane a few years ago, and like I remember turning it on.
They're running through the forest and they're in a circle
and everybody's fighting, and I'm like, okay, like superhuman, God, and then I'm like, regular dude with a bow and like really strong, athletically fit secret agent who shoots like guns and taser things, and like you're awesome, but you belong in a different movie.
Like the beginning of Winter Soldier is so much different in showcasing how badass Black Widow can be.
Yes, because she's fighting against like mercenaries.
Yeah.
She's like the best secret agent in the world.
But like, Vision would just explode you.
Yeah, I know.
He should. You know, I completely agree with it, but we'll let it go. So, what is your actual true fist pump moment?
Just a single one? I mean, I think probably my actual true fist pump moment is the fight between Bucky, Iron Man, and Captain America at the end in the hangar, and when the two of them are going two-on-ones, the shot from the trailer of the show, where he throws the shield, and they're just like going back and forth. It's just so...
Like the shooting and the mechanics of everything.
It's so well choreographed. It feels so fast and so like awesome, because it's like, on so many levels, you're like, okay, Iron Man's so strong...
And he's so smart
that he would be able to take both of them on at once.
Yeah.
But the fact that like they do a really good job of illustrating that Bucky can kind of use the shield. He's sort of almost able to use the shield.
Yeah,
properly.
He's figuring it out.
And like, that's really cool to me.
But he's not just 2-on-1 because he's got the voice in his head.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't beat him 1-on-1 or hand to hand. You've got to. Yeah. So my true fist pump is when Bucky's about to rip out the core.
Yeah.
He's like, you can see it crunching, and you're like, dude, if that thing goes, he's done.
Yeah.
You know, and then he blows off his fucking arm.
Yeah.
he just blows it off.
Yeah.
And he's looking on his arm, and you're just like, I love Angry Downey so much.
Yeah.
He killed my mom. Like,
yeah.
It just like,
it's a good line.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I have to disagree with you in saying that Downey kind of is losing his edge by this point, because I actually think Civil War might be my favorite
Downey?
Other than just the original Iron Man.
He just, for me, what it is, he just feels tired. He feels like he's old.
But he is. That's the point.
I
think that's why he's siding with the government. He's like, we can't just do this forever. We can't just keep killing and fighting and killing and fighting. So he is kind of fed up. And that's why I think the fact that it's like, once he realizes someone's killed his mom, he just goes off the deep end.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Ah. This movie's so sweet, guys.
What's your actual fist bump?
It was that. It was blowing the arm off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's going to wrap up that one. Let's get into the next part of the show, and that is going to be star profiles. So should we start with RDJ?
Yeah, I think so. So I am yet to watch Chef. Have you seen it?
I'm dying to watch that
and
movie.
I hear it's really good.
I've heard it's phenomenal.
I've heard it's a terrific movie. People say great things about that movie.
You and I both cried during The Judge.
I love The Judge.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I think that movie's very underrated.
It's a very by-the-numbers family drama, and it's very good.
It's very good. I had four glasses of wine on an airplane, and I cried my eyes out.
I drank a good amount of scotch, and I did the same. And then last but not least, Avengers Age of Ultron in 2015. Probably the best Avengers film.
I like the more and more and more that I... Because I've now finally seen all of that movie instead of the first 20 minutes, like six times.
Just say it.
What?
It's not as bad as everyone says it is.
No, I was going to say that I think Avengers Age of Ultron, it becomes like, it's in my bottom four MCU movies, maybe.
Damn it.
I think it's like so forgettable.
James Spader, so good.
He's great.
He's so good.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
It's not a good movie.
It's just like boring and like and just dumb. And the part where they go to like Clint's house and...
Oh, that part's awesome. You meet his family.
And you're chopping wood.
Yeah, you gotta chop wood.
Cap's in the tight t-shirt and he's pulling the thing up the wood apart.
Really quickly,
6% body fat.
We do have to mention our other fist bump of Cap pulling the helicopter and how badly he wanted his shirt to be off during that scene. And he was like begging the directors and they were just like, there's no reason for your shirt not to be on. He's like, come on, just let me do it. They're like, no, not gonna happen.
Yeah, he like, again, I think the Russo brothers have this fascination with showing Captain America's strength.
They
do. It's so fascinating that Joe Johnston didn't do it in the first movie anywhere near as well. And they just, it's like they show his strength more than they show either Hulk or Thor's strength.
Yeah, and I think it's because he's so relatable.
Actually, I take that back, because neither Hulk or Thor were in either of the two movies they directed, so that's completely incorrect.
Right, but I think I know what you're just saying in the universe in general.
Yeah.
In movies in general. And I agree that it's because, they've just really figured out, like, one of the simplest things in this movie is so badass, is them running faster than cars.
Totally.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's so subtle. No one ever acknowledges it. Cap could do it, but he's like, fuck this. I'm going to get in the car.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then they get to show the case the other abilities. It's like, Black Panther is, you cannot shake him off of anything. So, there's so much cool stuff that they do, and they're very subtle about it. It's not so super in your face.
The running faster than cars thing is really, really cool. Like, them, like, running over cars.
Yeah, like, and just, like, running past them. Like, it looks kind of silly, but it's super awesome.
Yeah, because it's so important that you figure out a way to subtly illustrate that these are superheroes. And that's so, so, so important.
Yeah.
All right, so then at the same time, you know, this is kind of the... What part of his career would you call this, Downey? 14, 15? This is kind of the, like, I am one of the biggest A-list stars in the world period, but also it's been acknowledged that I am now just Iron Man.
It's like if you look at a firework.
Yeah.
The main explosion was, like, the previous 5 years, and he's now, like, the trickling sparks. Because he's still on top of the world. Everyone's still looking at him.
Yeah.
But you don't really...
He's also he is the biggest star in the whole franchise. So, like... As we know from our buddy who worked on the movie, like on a Robert Downey Jr. day, like it's a Robert day. He's like a nice guy, totally cool, fun to work with. But like he's
on set, he is the most important thing in that building.
He's the head of the franchise, and it makes sense. He's the most important face of the franchise. Now jumping to the other most important face, you have Chris Evans,
right? Who has grown on both of us
so much.
I mean, he is. Yeah, we'll get to him and rank our top five.
Before we go and playing it cool, both 2014, neither movies I've ever heard of, and Age of Ultron 2015. He's a guy who you wonder, is he going to, like, Downey, you know what Downey's career is going to look like post-MCU. He's old enough at this point, he'll definitely do some cool stuff, but he's not young leading man anymore.
No,
he was at the tail end of young leading man when he got Sherlock Holmes and Iron Man.
He could turn into Clooney roles and stuff like that, the type of things that Clooney's been doing the last few years, because Downey does have those dramatic chops. Evans is really interesting because he kind of is like a true like Captain America in real life. So again, from our buddy who worked on these films, he's told us that like Evans really cares about doing independent projects and building his career as an actor outside of the MCU, which is you've seen it. We all know of Snowpiercer and some of the other things that he's done, but it's really hard to kind of separate yourself when you're Captain America.
Gifted, that was a good movie from last year.
Yeah, so the thing about Evans, and I think Gifted might have been the one that he left set for to go film, is Evans went out of his way to make time during filming Avengers to work on other projects. He worked around scheduling and with both production teams, and he made it work. And I think that is really going to help him if... and when he departs from this franchise, because the fact that people do like Snowpiercer and the fact that people do like Gifted and then he has been doing other things, it's so important.
I mean, you don't want to be Leonard Nimoy,
right?
Ever,
of course.
You don't want to just be one typecast. Period. So, I could see him having a career outside of this when it ends, and I think it's going
to
end soon.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, when we'll get to that, I think it'll take him a minute. Like, I can't imagine. You know, we have two more years of these movies that he's going to be in, because I think you and I are both pretty sure he's going to die.
Yeah, I think both of them are going to die.
Yeah, I mean, the contracts are over. He said that he's pretty much done. So, you know, contracts can always get re-upped, but we'll see what happens. But I do think that, you know, it'll take him a few years. But by 2023, 2024, when he's kind of in that early to mid-40s but can still kind of play lawyer roles that are 35 phase, he'll have a few movies. It's going to just be a question, does he pick the right project? Does he get to be in that movie, in that hit drama, that Oscar-nominated role, that indie, like, comedy that everybody loves?
Yeah, because Evans is so good at making fun of himself.
Yeah, he
like,
really
he's,
is.
He's perfect, just like Channing Tatum in that sense, of being, like, outstandingly good-looking and making fun of himself.
He's funny in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah, he's also good. Really funny in Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah. So that's Chris Evans. Yeah, I think that's pretty much star profiles, what we wanted to do with those.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's it. We could talk about Sebastian Stan. His career is a lot less star-studded than these guys, but it mostly is due to the Avengers films.
Pretty much it's Winter Soldier and The Husband and I, Tonya. That's
yeah,
his career
exactly.
To this point.
Exactly. And in his career, the fact that he did I, Tonya during all these movies, and I hardly even recognized him.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, obviously he looks the same, but it's just like, it's so such a departure.
He was really good in that movie.
Yeah, he's very good.
I like that movie a lot. So, all right, we are going to get into production development, talking about the guys that worked on this movie in just a second. But before we do, I want to remind everybody here to check out the Patreon, as we mentioned once already. Coming up this week, we're going to be listing some top five lists. I think
yeah.
This week we're going to be posting top five Gerard Butler movies, which was a list submitted by one of our users,
Jerry B.
One of the members of the Action Army submitted that list. So that has been filmed. It's going to be going up. You can check out last week's episode of Love, Simon. We did a miniature action movie anatomy on Love, Simon. Patreon.com/teamaction. Donate a buck, you get a bunch of extra free content.
Yeah, and we also have another great big announcement. Ben and I are members of Team Action in the Schmodown. I don't know if you guys know about this. You may or may not. But we are going to be at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood on June 2nd,
yes,
competing in a live match. So you guys can come. You can buy VIP tickets. You can meet and greet us beforehand. Those are very expensive. You can also just meet us afterwards, because we'll probably still be around. That's just a special note for you AMA fans. But yeah, June 2nd, El Portal Theater in North Hollywood. You can buy tickets today at www.schmodownlive.com.
We're going to be playing against the Shire Wolves, which are managed by Emma Loser Fife. Just kidding, Emma. That's I'm Ben right now.
Yeah, it's normal Ben.
I'm not the boss.
I don't know why you said that.
Yeah. But actually, in coming up this Friday, I'm going to be kicking the crap out of Mark Andreyko, who is a member of
the Fife Club.
Of the Fife Club.
Yeah, whatever
so
the hell that is.
I take on Andreyko, and there are going to be some fireworks, because Andreyko is a little overhyped, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a little overhyped. He's a little over the hill, and he doesn't even know what the boss is going to bring. So
he doesn't have any idea.
Those are things that we got coming up. Now to move on.
Yeah.
To production development.
Very
Kevin Feige is the god behind the Marvel Cinematic
Of this whole
universe.
Thing, yeah. We've, you know, now that we've covered a few of these...
Arvad? What is the other guy's name?
Avi Arad.
Yeah, that was the one that I was trying to think of, like, when we talked about Winter Soldier, and I couldn't remember his name.
Avi Arad's the guy from before Feige.
Yes,
he's
exactly.
The guy that kind of handled the whole expansion of Marvel through their bankruptcy as they started to sell off licensing rights to their characters to studios, so that we got the Tim Story Fantastic Four films and the X-Men films over at Fox. And he did a lot of good in terms of getting these movies made, but he didn't have the vision to make quality movies. So his role with the MCU kind of transitions, and he continues to be a producer. He's credited as a producer on Iron Man, I think, same with Punisher, Warzone, and maybe Incredible Hulk. But by about 2010, close to the end of Phase 1, he's no longer involved. And Feige, I would argue,
is like the most genius producer ever.
Yeah, like I think more so than even like the big, like the Schumachers and the Joel Silvers, because like those guys, they made great movies within their genres. They took like the calculated risks of, you know, trying out sequels and things, but like Feige, he truly envisioned in his mind this story that he was going to write, like this book that he wanted to write on the screen for a decade. And he did it. He actually did it. It's if you consider the MCU, and it's unfair because most franchises don't have 20 movies, but
right.
If you consider the MCU to be a movie franchise as opposed to just like...
Which it is,
because it's all interconnected. It's far and away the most profitable franchise in the history of film.
Absolutely.
By the numbers, by movies.
I mean, the fact that Black Panther just passed Titanic is insane.
And the fact that Infinity War has currently sold in pre-sale tickets more pre-sale tickets than the previous seven Marvel films combined, one of which was Black Panther, which is the third highest grossing film ever.
And here's the other thing is, one of my other theses that I had, and I'll just save it for Infinity War, which we're going to do in 2 weeks on the show, is that, like, this is the greatest achievement in corralling the biggest stars in the world and putting them all on camera at the same time. It's never been done before.
Yeah.
To this level where you have, like, Infinity War, you're looking around and there's 20 A-list stars around you.
Yeah.
A-list. Not B, not C, not Fringe, A-list. And it's unbelievable.
I think but one of the most interesting things about that I think people forget, and they get so wrapped up in the success of it, and it's unbelievable, it's amazing. But I think one of the most impressive things is that it's kind of like they were like a homegrown farm system baseball team, in the sense that, like, Feige was like, okay, so I have this vision. So this Australian guy, Chris Hemsworth, he's going to be my Thor. And it's going to work. He'll be Thor. And in a decade, he'll be one of the 20 most famous people in the whole world. But right now...
Evans, same thing.
He's like, this Chris Evans guy, I know those Fantastic Four films, they flopped. And, you know, the world kind of is over him, sunshine. But you know what? I'm going to put him as Captain America. I think he's right for this role. I think he can do it.
Everyone. So, Ruffalo, Downey, all of them.
Even Downey was like on... You know, he had been out of it for so long. He like really... these guys that he started the franchise with, none of them were like... the kind of stars they are now. We look back and it's revisionist history. We all think about these guys as the biggest names in the world. But
right.
He built them into the biggest names in the world.
All of them.
In 10 years. So that's pretty crazy. So Feige's definitely the star. The Russo brothers are super interesting to talk about because they...
You mean Dupree, anybody?
Yeah. They had basically directed one movie. They had, you know, one other indie before that and a bunch of TV credits, writers, producers, and directors, but they weren't big action directors. They got given Winter Soldier... they got given Winter Soldier, and they just crushed it. They knocked it out of the park. So then they get given Civil War, which is sort of like Avengers training wheels, right? That's kind of what it is. This is like, we're going to give you this movie that involves all these big actors, and it's kind of like an Avengers movie with training wheels.
Yeah.
And again, they just knocked it out of the park.
And so they get Infinity Wars, and they get the next one. So they get both Infinity War. They get both Infinity Wars. That's what I'm trying to say.
Films.
And I'm sure... they're going to just be insane.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Do you want me to hit you in the face? Is that what you want? There's two fucking movies.
Do you want to say...
That's why I pluralize it.
Do you want to say in your Wakanda voice?
No. Hate you. All right. And then they're written by Stephen Feely and Christopher Marcus. What did they do, Ben? Tell me. Tell me all about them and the massive research that you did.
And Stephen Feely?
Yeah, please.
They wrote a really good script for a movie called Civil War. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about because we're running a little short on time.
Today, oh, okay, so. Perfect. So we'll move on past that into critical reception and box office. This movie was produced by Buena Vista. It cost $250 million to make, which is half the budget for one of the Infinity War movies. It was open on May 6, 2016. It grossed $408 million domestic, additional $745 million foreign for a grand total of $1.1 billion. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What the fuck is your problem? Just say whatever it is you want to say.
Right now, when you said 1.1 billion, I almost was going to correct you and say 1.1 billions.
Because
I thought it was going to be funny.
Yeah, no, it wasn't
then
funny.
Then I started laughing, and then you asked me to explain myself.
Yep.
So I did.
I appreciate you doing that.
And here we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
It opened at number one at $179 million. It's got a 7.8 on IMDb. And... on Rotten Tomatoes, all critics gave it a 91, Top gave it a 91, and the audience gave it an 89, which...
it's very surprising.
It's really high. It's a little high.
Well,
for
the scores are high for sure, but I think people love it. I'm just surprised that the audience score is the lowest.
Yeah, me too. And I don't really understand why, especially after like Age of Ultron coming out.
Right.
I feel like why they were let down by this.
I feel like people love this movie. I feel like why wouldn't I would imagine the audience like... if I was just going to guesstimate, I would have said that the audience score was going to be like a 92 and the critics and top critics would have been like an 81 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That seems more more fitting to what I'm used to.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, what were the critics? I mean, again, there's not a lot to pick apart about this movie that you don't like as a critic, whereas if you're a fanboy, you could hate on things.
So we're going to get to favorite line in a second here because it's going up on the show. But I do want to ask a question, and that's that
you know, this technically isn't an Avengers movie. It's a Captain America movie.
Right.
So there's a couple, I think, that serves the movie well in some senses, which is that, like, the franchise of Captain America is a little less prominent than the Avengers. So it seems like Marvel is willing to make it a little more of a spy thing, make it a little darker. It's not quite as, like, action figures to be sold.
Right. Like, you know, one of them kills one of them's parents.
Yeah. So how do you think this movie would have been different if this were not a Captain America movie, but this actually had been called Avengers 3?
I mean, I think if this was called Avengers 3, they would have had to somehow forcefully inject Hulk and Thor in the film.
Right.
And Vision already felt like he didn't belong. Because the problem is, when they all fight,
yeah,
Vision kills everyone. He's got an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
And then if Thor's there, which I'm pretty sure if Thor was there, he would probably go Team Cap. He would have to logistically. And I also think his ideals of, like, wanting to be controlled by anyone, he's a god. Like, I just don't see him ever doing that. Whereas I think Ruffalo goes to Team Iron Man because he understands.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, and if anyone understands, like, destruction that they can't control better than... No one understands it better than Ruffalo. So I think the Hulk goes Team Iron Man. I think Thor goes Team Cap. Now both sides essentially have a god on them.
I think that Banner goes Team Iron Man, but Hulk goes Team Cap.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I mean,
so maybe he starts on the one side, but then, like, I think getting provoked, it's hard to imagine this movie working if you had those two characters in it, that's my takeaway. If this was an Avengers movie, it's, like, difficult for me to imagine it actually functioning. Like, you, as you said, Vision's involvement already makes the movie feel kind of like he's just, like, pulling his punches so much.
Yeah, because, like, Vision, look, the Infinity Stones, like, you can talk about whatever you want. If you guys are real fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yeah,
you understand the power of those things,
right?
And the power of the Infinity Stone in that situation, first of all, at least half of them are dead instantly if he wanted to kill them.
Well, yeah, because when he shows up at the moment at the airport,
right,
and he's like
yeah, it's like he draws a line in the, literally a line in the sand,
yeah,
and he's flying. And
yeah, the scene when he, like, steals Wanda and he, like, disables Vision, what Hawkeye does, it's
so unbelievable. And she, like, throws him down to the center of the earth or whatever, but it's like he would just come out.
Yeah, he's a robot. Oh, he's like, ow. It's like,
yeah, he's a robot that floats through things. Yeah. Something just floated in me.
Yeah, right.
You know, so...
we haven't even talked about Ant-Man yet.
Yeah, it's because Ant-Man's is just... like, I don't care about Ant-Man at all. And I like Paul Rudd.
Still haven't watched the movie.
Exactly.
Still haven't seen it.
I just... and, like, the next one's coming out, and, like, thank God it's about Evangeline Lilly more.
I like
it. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah. Do you like the Hobbit movies, by the way?
They're fine.
The new ones?
I like it more than Ant-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
People like Ant-Man.
Yeah, I know they do.
Oh, you just don't.
No.
Interesting.
It's just like a whatever movie to me. It's like...
yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody recently... sorry, as a tangent for just a quick second, but somebody recently started this conversation. What's worse? So in the chat, this is, you guys can sound off. What's worse, the Star Wars prequels or the Hobbit movies?
Oh, the Star Wars prequels by a mile.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
They've got to be.
But then when I started to look online at the people's opinions of those Hobbit movies, people hate those movies.
I know, well, yeah.
People hate those movies.
Well, yes. I mean, people hate both of them. I mean, that's the problem with making an incredible trilogy and then trying to follow it up.
Yeah, I feel like Hayden Christensen as Anakin is quite possibly the worst performance of our generation.
It definitely is up there.
Yeah.
Killing me, Padme.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa. Wrong movie.
I was gonna say, but yeah, people like Ant-Man. I get it, but I also have never heard anyone be like, Ant-Man's my favorite in the whole universe. It's the best movies, period. Like, he's just fine.
He's funny when he shows up.
Yeah, no,
hey,
that's, again, I love Paul Rudd.
What does he say? He's like Captain America. Then he, like, feels his chest. I'm shaking your hand too long. I know you. You're great.
All right. Well, this is a perfect segue then. Let's get into this conversation of our top five favorite characters in this movie. Not the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, like how they actually
just this film
are in this movie. All right. Do you want to count down, or are we going to go general with our lists?
I think we count down.
Okay.
At number five.
You start with your number five then.
Okay. So my number five counting down in this is going to be Bucky.
He's sweet.
He's super sick in this. His fighting in this is insane. He's in all the best fights.
Yeah.
And he's you see both sides of him in this.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm going to go with my number five is going to be Iron Man. And
wow.
Yeah. So I didn't put Bucky on my list. He didn't make my list.
Yeah, I didn't think he did when you said something earlier. So yeah,
I think he's awesome. I think he's great in this movie, but there's something about him. I like him way more in Winter Soldier. Like, it's not that I don't think he's great. He just doesn't stand out to me in this movie in the way that he does in Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier, he's like super, super memorable. I don't know. He's great in this movie, but for some reason, I just like, I resonate. The other characters and like their moments like resonate with me more. Each of the other ones. So
I'm so curious about your list now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you have Iron Man at 5, and I've got Bucky. I'm going to put Captain America at 4.
Okay, yeah, he's at 3 for me.
Okay,
so yeah, he's great. I mean, again, you know, the shirtless scene of him stopping the helicopter.
That's why this movie shouldn't be a Captain America movie. The story's about Iron Man and Bucky and like, it's just, and Captain America's sweet in it, but it's not his movie. Whereas in Civil War, it's just, I mean, in Winter Soldier, you're like, oh god, Cap is so sick
for sure.
So I mean, your number 3 is Captain America.
Yeah. So my number 4 is Vision, which.
Really?
I just think he's cool in this movie. I love that scene when he exactly. I love when he shows up.
And he's like Mr. Burns in The Simpsons when he's like on his medicine, floating through the night. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
His dilated eyes.
I also like, because I like that, and I also like that he's just like in a sweater vest when he goes through the wall.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I just like, I don't know, I sort of like Vision in this movie. Like, we don't get a lot of sweet Vision, I don't think. Like, there's not that much sweet Vision in the MCU yet. He hasn't shown up as, like, awesome yet.
Can't wait to watch Thanos rip that stone out of his head.
I know. They've shown so much in the trailers. It's getting so close.
I know.
I can't wait.
It's, like, 10 days away or whatever.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Okay, so you have that. So my number 3 is Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he takes on Falcon and Bucky, like, no problem. He hand-to-hand fights Captain America. Like, in his commentary, it's awesome.
He's great. So my number 3 is Captain America.
Okay.
Yep. My number 2 is Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, when you said I was wondering if he wasn't on your list.
Yeah,
I was worried.
He's great. He like steals the scenes that he's in. He like fully steals the scenes that he's in.
Do we have the same number 1? Maybe.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, he totally steals and it's good that they pacify him.
Yeah.
That he's like, it's like, nope, you're done. Stay down, or I'm calling Aunt May. Done. Because I don't want any more Spider-Man than I got in that movie.
Marissa Tomei. So I love that Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr. dated in the 90s. They had like an actual thing.
Right.
They were like a relationship. I totally forgot about him showing up in this movie. It's just like,
amazing.
Like, you are an attractive older woman. It's like, how funny would that be to say to somebody who had dated like 20 years earlier?
Yeah, on camera for the whole world to see.
Yeah.
So my number 2 is Iron Man.
Yeah.
And my number 1.
I'm not going to do the voice.
Black, it's T'Challa.
T'Challa.
Everything he does, T'Challa is
Black Panther.
Everything he does in this movie is awesome.
He's great. Yeah, he's. It's funny because like, it was clear that he was great, but then like, now that Black Panther's out, it's even more clear how great he actually was in this movie because it was like he's so like. Yeah, you're like so curious.
He's like
how
Lando
much...
in the Solo trailers, and then you're gonna see, you're like, man, Lando's sick, and then you get the Lando movie, and you're like. Oh my god, it's everything I thought he was going to be. Because everything he does in this is perfect.
It's so funny that, like, so there's, like, this epidemic of casting choices in Hollywood we've talked about so many times, where it's basically, like, black actors get to do, like, a couple things. They get to be, like, gangsters or gangbangers, they get to be in biopics, or they get to play superheroes.
Yeah.
They don't just get to be, like, they don't really get cast as, like, just the normal lead of, like, some rom-com or some drama. It's, like, way less common. So you look at what Chadwick Boseman has done. It's, like, he played Thurgood Marshall. He played James Brown. He played Jackie Robinson. Yep. He's played Black Panther.
Yep.
Like, that's the career he's gotten. It's an amazing career the last few years, but it's also just, like, guys, have you seen how talented this actor
is? Yeah, he can do so many things. Just put him as a detective on a show.
Just put him
as a detective in a movie. Like,
exactly.
Just a normal guy that would be given to Ryan Gosling.
Yes, right.
You know,
exactly.
Give it to Chadwick Boseman. And I do believe that he is way sweeter in this movie than he is in Black Panther. And I really like him in Black Panther.
Yeah.
But everything he does in this movie is insane.
Well, because he's on the vengeance train. So he's driven by anger.
Yeah.
You're going to say the line that I want to say.
I don't think I met you. I'm Clint. You're not going to say it?
I'm not going to say the line.
I don't care.
Yeah. also, at the end when he says...
they want you to say the line. Everyone's begging for you to say the line.
Vengeance has consumed you.
Vengeance has consumed you.
It will not consume me any longer.
It will not consume me any longer.
I can do Downey voice, maybe? Vengeance has consumed you.
Okay, so let's and your number one is Black Panther as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It's easy.
I just think he just steals the show in this movie.
Yeah, and honestly, it seems like a lot of people's top five lists are around the same. It's about, I mean, obviously, it's the same five people. Although we didn't, some people have Scarlet Witch in there, some people have Black Widow.
Yeah, I think Vision's a real wild card on my list.
Vision was a wild card. I was surprised to see that on there.
I like Paul Bettany a lot.
I really like
Paul
Bettany.
I'm a fan of Paul Bettany.
Yeah. What's that movie with him in Firewall? Seen that?
Never watched it.
It's a really good one.
Is that the one with Nicole Kidman? Julianne Moore.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah. Firewall.
Yeah.
Right.
Check that one out.
Check that movie out.
Okay, so moving on to favorite line. You know that you can say any line from the movie that's your favorite line, and it's usually encouraged to say it as the actor that says it. So if your favorite line was like mine, and it's T'Challa.
Okay, yeah.
Which I actually just said it, which was, I don't think we've met yet. I'm Clint. I don't care.
Yeah.
I love that line. It just gets me.
I like when he says, not Okoye, it's like another Wakandan associate of his, because they had to cast the Nigerari.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about when she's like, move?
Yeah, when she's like, move.
Uh-huh.
And Scarlet Witch says something, and he's like, as entertaining as that would be.
What does he say?
As entertaining as that would be.
Oh, come on, man. Just do it. Just do it.
I love that line. I love You Killed My Mom.
Yeah. Downey has a lot of really good and some also really funny lines. My favorite of his line is, okay, anybody on our side hiding any shocking and fantastic abilities they'd like to expose right now?
Yeah. That's really funny, and I also love the Peter Parker line. Remember that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
Jesus, Tony, how old is this kid? Yeah, that's a great one.
That's funny. I also really love the whole discussion that they have about the Sokovia Accords, when they're all talking like people, and like, you know, Don Cheadle says the one thing, and then Mackie's like, how long are you going to play both sides, man? And it's like, they just write them like real people. They like write dialogue that feels like so much less dramatic. It's so much more just like people talking to each other.
Yeah.
The living are not done with you yet.
Yeah, that's a good line too.
Yeah, that's a great line.
You do the voice well.
Thank you.
I'll give you credit.
I bet you do it just as well.
If you guys subscribe to patreon.com /
Ben just going out his whole day in the Wakandan accent.
Maybe.
I think those are my favorite lines. I know that there's one more Downey one that I wanted to write down that I forgot because it made me chuckle.
Well, he has the one line when I was your friend.
So was I.
Yeah.
Or I was too. Oh,
so was I.
You don't deserve that shield. My father built that.
Yeah.
I love that because it's like, it's so petty.
He's like defeated.
He's so defeated. Yeah. He's so mad.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Cap just drops it is just like, God, it's good.
And that leads into the Infinity War trailer, where we hear Black Panther say, evacuate the city,
engage all defenses,
and somebody get this man a shield.
All right, so I think we covered favorite line.
Yeah, I think absolutely. So is the chat having fun with this?
They're just dying for you to do the accent.
Yeah, okay,
they're
guys.
Waiting. Yeah.
If you, I already plugged one thing you can put money into, so we'll leave that. All right, so if Captain America dies in Avengers 3 or 4, who would you rather see in the Stars and Stripes, Bucky, Sam Wilson, or someone else? This is asked by Justin Woods.
I had to Google who Sam Wilson was.
Really?
I'll be honest.
That's great.
Yeah.
He's the actor that plays Javert in the upcoming BBC series. Here's what I think.
I want Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Brie Larson?
Yep.
So everybody thinks that, you know, Cap, that, you know, Iron Man, they're
and
all going to
everyone
die.
Thinks Cap and Iron Man are going to die in 3 and 4, essentially.
So there's basically, like, a bunch of theories. One theory is that Sam Wilson is going to become Captain America. And I've heard internally from people I've talked to that the theory behind that is that the success of Black Panther would mean, rather than putting Bucky into the role, it would behoove Marvel to put another African-American actor into the role. My issues with that are that unless he gets some sort of, like, superhuman treatment, which Marvel could write into a pill or a treatment or something, he's just a dude. And again, the suspension of disbelief is so difficult sometimes when you see like a human get like thrown against the giant pole at like top speed from 20 feet away with no armor and just like get up.
Yeah,
it's like your whole back would be shattered,
every bone in your body is destroyed.
Yeah. And so like that would be my issue with Sam Wilson being Cap, is that they would need to change his character, because Bucky like had the experiments and the super soldier serum.
Yeah, I think Bucky makes the most sense. I like have a really big problem to anyone playing either of them. I don't want to see War Machine fill in for Iron Man. He's not smart enough.
Well, his back's also broken.
Well, yeah. Also, he should have died in this movie.
Yeah.
I really think Rhodey should have died. It would have helped add it to everything. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see another Iron Man or another Captain America. I want to see Captain Marvel step into the scene. I want to see Sam Wilson step it up. That's the guy that plays Falcon, by the way. And I want to see Bucky have a bigger role as just a good guy.
One of the other rumors I've heard is that Thor is also going to die, and that Thor is going to be replaced by Tessa Thompson. Valkyrie is going to become Thor.
I don't want Thor to die. Oh, yeah. Wait, Thor. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Really? I thought of Hulk real quick.
Oh, okay.
I really don't want Hulk to die. I want the Hulk to have his own movie. I want a prequel movie with Ruffalo, and I want to see the Hulk hulking.
I mean...
Yeah, I know. The 2005 one is... I want that again with Ruffalo.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's,
What, you don't want to see a Hulk movie?
I do want to see a Hulk movie, but what I was going to say is they recast him once already in the context of this franchise. I think they could just recast him again with another good actor. It wouldn't matter.
I don't think they recast him. He's so good.
Yeah. It's weird to think about this now as a franchise to really start to kind of acknowledge that, like, there is a possibility that some of these roles are just going to get recast. Like, it's... I don't know that that's the choice they're going to make, but like they could just do that.
So who's dying in the next movies? Who's dying in 3 and 4? I mean, Iron Man and Cap, I think we can both agree on.
Those were the... I mean, I think Hawkeye, Iron Man, Cap...
Vision.
Vision. Those four, I think maybe Nick Fury, possibly. Though I think he can just keep doing that role for a while, and they kind of need him to like keep the glue together.
One of the... Okay, yeah, you already said Hawkeye. I don't think they kill Black Widow.
No, she's got her own movie coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that, I mean, the big ones, as far as the big ones go, though, I think it's the big two.
Yeah.
I think they both die. It's possible that one of them dies and the other one basically, like, just, like, steps out of the picture.
How sweet would it be if it's that scene when he's, like, catching the glove from Thanos?
I know.
And then Thanos just kills him right afterwards.
That's what I've heard people guessing.
I hope they remember you.
Yeah.
And then kill... Oh, God.
Was that Spader having a baby with Brolin?
With Brolin. We're coming for you.
All right. So that's gonna answer our question here from Justin Woods. As always, guys, be sure to check out the Facebook page and the Twitter at AMA Podcast if you ever want to submit your questions. We have upcoming films pretty much the whole summer plotted out.
Yeah, we have a lot coming up. And for all the people out there that are Patreon members, Commodores and above, generals, we got, like Ben said, we got four or five movies laid out. We got to figure out call-ins. We got to figure out segments for you guys to do. So please reach out and let's figure that out.
Yeah, so this next segment's kind of interesting. It's which of the three action movie categories does this movie fit into? And the three categories are totally ridiculous, totally legitimate, and ridiculously legitimate. So totally ridiculous, that's like Con Air, Face Off, Demolition Man. Really silly, just kind of like falls off the face of the cliff of absurdity. The face of the cliff of absurdity. Totally legit.
Just go with it. I got you. I wasn't going to say anything.
Totally legit. That's going to be movies like, you know, Lone Survivor, Gladiator, dramas, movies that they really hold together well. And finally, in the middle category, we have ridiculously legit, which is just the best thing ever. It's the middle category. It all kind of comes together. It's headlined, but like, it's just... I'm just so into this category right now.
Yeah, I know you are. Which one are you talking about?
It's the middle category.
There you go.
All right, I did one
you
for
did
you guys.
It for you guys.
Who even knows what accent that was?
I don't know. It was like you were scared.
I was Sokovian.
You were Sokovian.
Yeah.
you're just Zemo.
I wish I had done it earlier.
Well, there's still time. We got a little bit of time left.
So those are the three action movie categories. We each have to choose one, which category we think it fits into. I think this movie is the middle category. I think it's ridiculously legit. It's totally awesome. It's like, it's great. It holds together really well. It's just a little silly at times. Like, it definitely has the, like, it's like you're reading a comic book.
Yeah, it's got the injected levity. It's got those things that you need to kind of, to make it an Avengers movie and not a Captain America movie, honestly.
Yeah, honestly.
You know?
Like, Civil War feels like it's in the middle category, whereas Winter Soldier feels like it's totally legit.
Yeah, I think I'll have to agree. I think I'll go middle category. I think it's ridiculously legitimate.
Yeah.
Ridiculously.
Okay.
We're getting canceled.
Evacuate the city. Activate the defenses. And somebody get this man a shield.
There it is.
Yours is much better than mine.
I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Yeah.
You've got some better ones than me. Your Arnold is much better than mine.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. All right, guys, there's just one last thing left to do on the show, and that's going to be called The Pitch.
The Pitch.
The Pitch.
It's going to be called
The Pitch.
Andrew's just going to talk only in Wakandan, and I'm only going to sing in Jackman voice from now on.
But could you please sing as Javert, because he's so bad? Russell Crowe as Javert is one of his worst performances
and
ever.
And I am Javert!
So you're like, ah, oh, God.
Do not forget my name! All right, anyway, guys, the next film
sounds
we're
very
doing,
much like him.
He's very, like, high and nasally.
Yeah. The next film we're doing is the one that lost the poll.
Which is Iron Man. Yeah, we, on Patreon, what we did last week is we watched Rampage. And had a couple drinks with it because we wanted to, you know, enhance the experience. And we did. And it was a lovely film, just not a film that we really wanted to cover on the show. So we decided we would ask the Patreon, guys, do you want us to cover Iron Man or Civil War next week? And I had a stroke.
Yeah, and you guys picked Civil War, and we're just going to do the other one because... Look, Infinity Wars is coming out in... Oh, damn it. Infinity War is... I meant to say Infinity Wars coming out. This apostrophe S, as in is. Infinity War is coming out in a couple weeks. So we're going to do... We did Civil War today. We're going to do Iron Man next week. And then the following week, we're going to cover Infinity War, which we're really excited about.
There's a bunch of sweet movies coming up on the docket. We have a bunch of stuff written down. We're going to be doing Count of Monte Cristo at some point this summer. There's a lot of really good stuff. So stay tuned, guys. You know,
one of the Deadpool movies will be taken care of as well.
Absolutely. As we mentioned earlier, guys, check out on Collider. You can check out the Movie Trivia Schmodown. I'm playing Mark Andreyko on Friday. Very excited for the match. He's going to lose. And June 2nd, El Portal Theater, you can buy tickets to watch us in Los Angeles live fighting in the Movie Trivia Schmodown against the Shire Wolves.
Probably bring him on for the show.
We should. It's a good plan.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah. That's going to wrap us up, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.